Stories from California Cattle Country is produced by the California Cattlemen's Foundation and receives support from the California Cattle Council. We've created this podcast for those wanting to connect with the people and practices of far-flung ranches and dairies throughout California through hearing stories from and learning more about the families of cattle country. In the few interviews I've done on the subject of predators with California ranchers, I've witnessed frustration and anger, not really with the predators, but more with how they're managed. Now, I've harped on this a lot, but ranchers I spoke to, and there's over 60 so far, revere nature and appreciate the natural order of things. I mean, after all, it's good for business. Ranches are multi-generational operations, and they benefit from a healthy, functional ecosystem. Now, if you agree that there should be cattle ranches and mountain lions in California, then that interface requires some management. A few weeks ago, two brothers, 18 and 21, were looking for deer antler sheds while hiking in El Dorado County. That afternoon, the brothers were ambushed by a male mountain lion. Initially, the younger of the two was attacked, and when his older brother intervened, the lion attacked him, ultimately taking the older brother Taylan's life. It's reported that the brothers, both avid outdoorsmen, followed protocol in regard to how to deal with an aggressive mountain lion. Don't run. Make yourself as big as possible. And should the animal attack, fight back. Taylan's brother Wyatt is expected to recover after multiple surgeries to his face and neck. The mountain lion was found by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and was euthanized. Mountain lion attacks on humans are very uncommon. In fact, this is the first confirmed mountain lion fatality since 2004. Mountain lions are typically elusive, scared of humans, and nocturnal. This series explores the interface between predators and the urban areas through the lens of California ranchers. With an expanding population, especially more in rural areas, these interactions with predators will only increase. This attack comes on the heels of an attack of a 5-year-old boy in San Mateo County last February. The boy, Jack, was hiking with his family. It's reported that the child scared a juvenile lion, which abruptly tackled the boy, causing bruises and lacerations, though it's also reported that the lion did not bite him. The boy's mother charged the animal and it quickly retreated. The boy's father made this statement, "We're going to give our son all the love and care that he needs. And then when he's absolutely ready, we're going to start hiking again because that's what we do. We're an outdoor-loving family, and this experience will not take that away from us. I think it's important to not be afraid of mountain lions, but to take care and be alert when you're out in their habitat. Even though this doesn't happen often, things like this can happen in an instant. You have to respect the big animals that are capable of hurting you and hurting your loved ones. We are grateful that the cat wasn't bigger and that it didn't bite our son because that would have been a different story." Like I said, mountain lion attacks are incredibly rare. About 20 confirmed attacks have occurred in California in more than a century of record keeping, and only 3 have been fatal, and that's according to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. I'm always kind of fishing for a metaphor, and the closest I've gotten to regard to this series is that ranchers largely exist in the wildland-urban interface, are to a degree kind of our canaries in a coal mine. Increased interaction coupled with ongoing habituation is a spicy mix. In this episode, we speak with Vince Fontana of Flashlight Ranch in Half Moon Bay, which is also in San Mateo County, a region dealing with increasing mountain lion activity. I'm Ryan Donahue, and this is Stories from California Cattle Country.
How do you want to do this? I've never done this before.
It's easy.
Do you ask questions?
Yeah. Okay. And so I'm going to ask you some questions.
Can I help you? I maybe get an idea of what I have down for you?
Sure.
Okay. Then what I'll do is I'll go into history because a real quick thing that how long I've been dealing with these lions. I'm Vince Fontana. I graze cattle in San Mateo County. Been doing it for 50 years. We're basically in Half Moon Bay, the coast side between San Francisco and Santa Cruz. It's brushy. Some has timber, some's open. It's getting more and more taken over by brush because of management on our hillsides and stuff, removing agriculture from it. But the fact is, there's a lot of cover here. It's really hard to address this problem. I've seen the change in the wildlife, the predator problem, of course. Going back in time, I first started noticing the problem evolving about in the 80s when I started finding livestock kills, deer kills mainly at that time, that weren't characteristic to health issue or our present predator, which is coyotes at the time. And then as time went on, the cameras came out and started having more losses and started getting educated in the field of lions, realized what was going on. During that period of time, I've seen our deer herd, coyotes, bobcats, raccoons, becoming and declining in numbers to where it's on the deer herd is probably 80%, if not more. All the other animals in our creeks and stuff are down at least in the 80s and 90%. The foundations that have it now seem to be more setting up their programs and regulations, not on data or science, set on more on public opinion and financial funding. So I think that is the big problem that we need to address. It's not the mountain lion. It's management of the mountain lion.
This is an issue that does need to be managed, and that it's not, you know, your goal for like total eradication of the species or anything. They're keystone species. They're important to be around. But the ranchers that I talk to often exist in the, you know, wildland, what they call urban interface, the WUI. You guys have more experience with these animals than people in urban areas. Mountain lion seems pretty elusive. I think it's a nocturnal hunter for the most part. How do you identify a take, or how do you identify if an animal was taken by a mountain lion?
It became, at first, I was really an educator, a novice to it. I'd never dealt with mountain lions. Then as it progressed on, its very first visual appearance, for one thing, when the coyotes were involved or other scavenger involved, it'd take quite a process, a few days or a week before the carcass would be cleaned up. When the mountain lions started appearing on the deer carcasses, I've seen where they were cleaned up and maybe one night the meat was still nice and red, blood was still red in the ground. So the thing was, the characteristics of a mountain lion is it does a real clean job, and it's very, very easy to detect. It seems like,
I mean, just last year, I think it was March, but there was a lion attack on a child that was hiking not far from here.
Right.
Right. And it should be mentioned that attacks on humans are pretty abnormal and rare, but attacks on other animals aren't, like, and that's a thing. And I saw that it might have been in that article of 2016, but that, you know, at one point, predation, you know, was 1% of your herd would be a problem for 1%. And then it went to 4 to 6. And is it the same still?
Right now, at this present time, it's at 10%. And I haven't really been able to scour the hills much. But what I've found, and since the period of roughly August 15th to this point in time, on one ranch alone, I'm at 10%. The other ranch, I haven't been able to cross the creek much. And the fact is quite a bit of brush there. So until we start really gathering the cattle and riding through and finding carcasses and stuff, I won't know. But I'm already at 10%. My neighbor is lost a couple of mini donkeys. And the frustrating thing is there's a lion involved and out with a camera on it, with a collar, and doesn't seem to get addressed and doesn't seem to even be documented.
I mean, there's obviously the effect on income and like losing those animals and all those things, but there's also kind of a secondary effect on the herd itself and their behavior and how much weight they put on. Are you seeing those same kind of things that it's
affecting? Yes, I have. The fact is, it's pretty hard to pinpoint conception rates and all that, weight losses, so on and so forth. But conception rate is a big one, because whenever I had a major problem with predators, the following season, my calving will be sporadic. The thing is, there's issues that we know that affect it, body score, fertility, so on and so forth. But when the thing is, when your calving rate, one day you have 15 or 20 hit the ground in a couple of weeks' time, and then there might be a sporadic point there where there's nothing for a couple, 2-3 weeks. Then all of a sudden, another 10 calves hit the ground. So that goes to show you that if you've documented it right, it will show that when there was a cat activity or you found a loss for sure, that during that period of time, cows only in for 18 hours. So the thing is, if there's some disturbance or whatever goes on, that period in time could skip for a month's time, 30 days, and then your calves aren't coming like they should come. There's no way that I can pinpoint that and document it, but the thing is, I've heard other ranchers talk about the same thing, so it's obvious.
what kind of mitigation can you do? Because I know there's a ton of laws, and when we talk about certain animals, you know, with wolves, you can't yell at them, you know, like things like that. What are you able to do to mitigate the problem? Because like I said, they're elusive. It's not like you see them during the day.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, our hands are tied as far as protecting our herds. There's no way you can be vigilant 24 hours a day. You could check your cattle at noontime or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, come back the next morning, find a dead calf. The fact is, this predator thing is probably one of the worst things that we have to deal with. Health issues evolve slowly. You can see that. And you got a window of time, a few days, a week or something to address it. Drought, market, those things there, they fluctuate at times, but the predator is the quickest thing that hits you. It's the most hard thing to stop because, I mean, you can't be out with your cattle in open range that much. So you're very vulnerable to the situation.
With the recent trouble, I know that there's been a lot of activity in the last 6 months or something, but is the thought that it's a single individual animal that's causing all this trouble, or is it kind of like...
Well, there's no way of knowing. Yeah. I believe that what's hit me now is one, when was first happening to me in 2005, 7, 8, you know, I was running stalkers and up in that skyline country, and I was having numerous losses, and I finally convinced the area we had to put cameras on it. And at that time, there was 3 mountain lions eating on them. So the thing is, and to this day, I really believe that we're seeing numbers 2 and 3 in a bunch. But I think right now, the way the animals getting cleaned up, I think it's only one.
From what I understand is they're usually pretty solitary, unless it's a mom and some babies. And then the males are usually on their own unless mm-hmm. they're looking to mate. And that's kind of it. Are you experiencing other kinds of predation from other animals too? Are you still dealing with coyotes?
No, the thing is coyote numbers are dwindled way down because of when the lions first showed up. But even back when we didn't have no other predator than coyotes, the only time I would say that the coyotes were going to be a problem is if you saw 4 or 5 in a pack. A single coyote normally does not attack a calf. But the predator thing at that time was either nothing or maybe 1%. It wasn't worth even being concerned about. But now it is. And the thing is, if I didn't know when I started having these losses that it was a predator or mountain lion involved, I'd been very concerned. Because any ranch you talk to, when the wildlife's doing good, his livestock is doing good. So the thing is, both of them share the same environment and they coexist if they're both managed and controlled. The livestock man has to control his livestock just as much as I think the wildlife people have to control theirs.
If you could write one law immediately, you just for mitigation, for management, that would help you out, what would that be?
The law that I would write makes sense in anything you do. I manage my livestock. All I'm asking for is the organizations that are managing the mountain lions to manage the mountain lions. The thing is, we can work together, but we cannot work together if someone says you can't and the other guy with the cattle has to do this and has to do that. The fact is, what would satisfy me the most is if we could have an understanding where wildlife and the Lion Foundation is supporting this policy now, and the public that supports the policy now, that respects private property, number one. And number two, the rancher, pet owners, whoever has livestock or animals, we are responsible for their good and their bad. If they create problems for my neighbor, my livestock, I am responsible for all damages and all losses. I think the Lion Foundation, if they don't want to turn this back to fish and wildlife, that those are the people that are trained on managing wildlife. If the Lion Foundations and the public want to keep control of the mountain lions, well, they have to realize that they have to take on the responsibility and reimburse us for our losses of livestock, pets, and now human attacks. If they're not willing to do that, they should rescind the responsibility
or their management of the wildlife lion. The big thing too that I think is really happening with this management program on the mountain lions, not just here, all over the state. I said this before at a number of meetings, that they're spending way too much time studying the mountain lion. When you're studying the mountain lion, they're entering their domain and they're making the lion very comfortable from being sighted and seen and studied, right? When these lions are being introduced, they're being trapped. And when they're being trapped, they're using bait, anywhere from roadkills to whatever bait they use. So the animals get attractive to the traps by smelling human scent. Everything goes with human activity and becoming a scavenger instead of a predator. So these lions are becoming more comfortable in our close proximity to houses and to the La Honda area. They've had a lot of problems right there in town, taking dogs and cats right out of the backyards because it's a rural community. And also when these lions are getting used to human activity, they say noises and all the things that go with it. That's why they're encroaching on our ranches and they're encroaching on our private property and residential areas. And I think as a rancher, if I'm not allowed to manage wildlife or be part of it, I'm not doing my job as a neighbor, because the fact is I'm setting up a sanctuary for them, not only feeding them with my livestock, but there they can multiply. When they get to town, the people that get in town don't have the ability or the access to address the problem. So I think by tying the ranchers' hands up, it's sad to say, but as ranchers, we're helping the problem escalate. The Farm Bureau in Half Moon Bay here at several meetings, we discussed the problem. And we stated 15 years ago or more when these plants coming up. When they came here, they started really hitting our deer herds, but that's your natural diet. I understand that. But the thing was, we weren't adjusting numbers. I could see the deer herds diminishing. And I brought that up and I thought, when I finally get people involved in this convinced or even addressed to the problem that our deer herds coming down, because that should set a tone that something's up. That went on beyond being recognized. And we said that eventually the livestock, and then they're going to be hitting pets, and they're going to be hitting attacks on humans. They have. The fact is, all this 25, 30, 40 years of the Mountain Lion Foundation doing studies, the mountain lion has changed just because they've changed his demeanor. They changed where he's out in the daytime now. Never used to be in the daytime or seen. We changed him from being a predator to a scavenger because how things have been trapped or whatever, they're running out of food. The sad thing is, what has happened is we think that the lion is a big, beautiful animal, which he is. There's nothing prettier than seeing a lion going across a side hill or a big buck or a wildlife abundance, right? But the thing is, a lion does one thing to survive, and that's kill. The bigger he is and the prettier he is, the better he is as what he does. The fact is, for him to survive, if when he's running out of deer, then he'll step down the next thing, right? Mm-hmm. And he has. He's come down, and they're eating cats and dogs, coons and possums in the creek. They've wiped them out. The sad thing about it now is these attacks, I think they're going to be, hate to say it, but they're going to be more frequent. Because at one meeting one night, the lady said that the evolution of when they run out of feed and all this, how they multiply or decline. Well, that's where the whole idea of the strong survive, which that's going to happen. So these cats that are got these aggressive genes that attacked those two boys up there and thing, there was no reason for that lion to cat attack those people. This child down here in Tenius Canyon, there was no reason for it. They're open fields, had plenty of exit route. So the thing is, these aggressive genetics are out there now. And unless we start controlling this, it's going to get worse.
Well, Vince, I want to thank you for letting me in your house and giving me your time and allowing me to bother you for 30 minutes. But I think we have everything we need. As always, feedback is much appreciated. If you're a cattle producer with issues with predation, don't hesitate to email me at ryan@cowcattle.org. If you're not an email guy, you can also call Catherine at the CCA office. The Brooks brothers mentioned it in the introduction of this episode. Have a support fund created for them, and I'll include a link for that in the podcast description. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.